Welcome to the Untold Stories of Central Minnesota. This is Arts and Cultural Heritage producer Jeff Carmack, and in today's installment, we're talking about puppies. Or to be more exact, rescued puppies. Just recently, the Tri-County Humane Society held their 29th annual Wolfstock, which is a fundraiser and a chance for the public to meet some of the dogs that are up for adoption, as well as check out the various services and vendors that have sprung up to help out our four-legged friends as they come into our lives in sometimes the strangest ways. So we're going to wander into Wilson Park and Wolfstock to chat with some folk and their dogs about their rescue stories and how really these little critters ended up rescuing the humans. So, what's your dog's name and how did you come about getting her?
Our dog's original name was Jewel, but it sounded too much like my name, so we changed her name to Agate. But we got her from a place called Rough Start. It's a rescuing society that takes dogs from a lot of different places, and she originally came from Missouri. Her first owners didn't want puppies, but they didn't get their original dogs fixed.
That'll happen.
So they left her out on the streets, and then other owners picked her up, and they had an autistic kid who broke her leg, and they didn't go to get it fixed, so it healed wrong, so she walks with a little limp. But she's a really adorable little idiot, she's our idiot.
Yeah. So how has having a dog like changed things for you and your family?
It kind of entitles us to a few different things. Like we have to get her food. We have to take her on walks. Have to pick up her poop. That's not a favorite, but we have to do it.
You get used to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's all in the just putting the thing on your hand and scooping it up, and then there you go. Prepares you for later in life.
How blight. That's true. But yeah, I think it's a really great experience, and Rough Start's a really great place, and I have a lot of cool dogs.
So why don't you tell me about your dog?
So I have a Chihuahua mix. His name is Jitterbug. He's a couple years old. He's from the Otter Tail County Humane Society, and he was found with two other small mixed breed dogs that were actually found in a field outside of town. Unfortunately, what we know is that they were probably left by someone. They just kind of dropped them off. But then I found out about him because I'm in the veterinary technology program at NDSU, and we bring in rescues to help them get more adoptable. So we get them spayed and neutered and give them all their vaccinations. And this little guy was there at school, and I knew I had to have him, and I heard his story, and it was just like, I just wanted to help him out, so.
So that's one of those things, when people find their dogs, they just kind of know.
Yeah.
I mean, what can you describe maybe what that feels like? It's a strange feeling, I know.
In a way, I would say it's just like, they just feel like your dog. It's just this feeling that, like, you know, they should be at home with you, and you should be the one taking care of them and giving them a good home.
And what are some tips for people who are thinking about rescuing a dog?
Well, I would say think about kind of what kind of breed you're looking for and make sure that you can give them an appropriate home. So I live in an apartment, so having a small breed dog works very well. And of course, if you want something like a husky that has a lot of energy, make sure that you're thinking about how much time they're going to require and that sort of thing.
Totally. How has having this dog changed your life?
I would say he's definitely kind of my support system. Being at school when things are stressful, he helps me out, feel more relaxed, and
always
wants attention, and so it's kind of nice to have him. He kind of brings down my stress level and just really helps my day better.
Always wagging their tail when you come home. Yeah,
that's right.
Yep.
That's right.
So this is Honey, and we adopted her last summer. She was actually a rescue that had been in three homes before she found ours. We had newly moved into our neighborhood, and our neighbors came over and thought that she may be a good fit with our family because we have another Minpin Chihuahua that is a smaller dog. And so we ended up having them meet, and they fell right in love, and we fell in love, and she's been ours ever since. So I think it just kind of completed our family. We had recently, when we had moved, we had had to get rid of some of our larger dogs. We actually had family members had taken them because our house wasn't large enough for them. And so we ended up, we kind of felt, like something was missing. And so when she came to us, she was a perfect size, a 6-pound dog versus an 80-pound dog or 280-pound dogs.
Yeah.
So it's just something that, a change that we had to make for the better, and she's made our life a lot better. Oh, it's and having Honey has actually led to me developing and starting a company, and it's called HH Chrome, and it's Chrome for a Cause. And because up to 25% of our proceeds go to the Humane Society. We are a startup based out of Cottage Grove, Minnesota. And what we're looking to do is we're looking to just spread the word. So that's why we're here today showing our items and trying to get the word out there. The more I can sell, the more I can give. So please visit us and see what you can do to help us make a difference.
Our dog is half black lab, half a doxy. And so when we first rescued her, she was just all over the place,
yeah.
I mean, if I had the window in the car and wouldn't have the leash on her, she'd have jumped out of the car. But now she just, everywhere I walk around the house, she's just right there.
Mm.
My wife says she's closer than my shorts.
Nice.
But when we rescued her, we put her bed right at the foot of our bed. And the first time she went to bed, she jumped up on the bed. We said, no, down over there. And that's where she goes. So when I leave at home in the morning, I work, 6 o'clock in the morning. So when I leave home, then I let her up on the bed and then close the door so she stays with my wife. And after that, she just sits right next to her. But at night, she just goes right to her bed, and she's just the neatest little dog.
Mm-hmm. So is she your first rescue? Or?
Our first rescue, yes.
Right.
Well, she's really the first pet that I've bonded with. I mean, raising kids, you had cats and you had a rabbit and other dog, but it was... This is like, I was supposed to get the dog for the wife, and she's like, my dog. She adopted me. We walked into that little room and said, do you have any smaller dogs? And they brought Rescue in as Rescue, and Rosie just put her paws up on my lap, rah, 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 you know, like, take me. And so,
yeah.
We're stuck. We're hooked.
So have there been any challenges because she's a rescue?
Oh, absolutely not. She's just been, to me, the perfect pet.
Nice.
So I got Oscar from the Humane Society. Started off as a foster program about 4 months ago. Old guy, old black lab, really bad arthritis, but just a sweetheart. And so brought him home with intentions of trying to find him a forever home, but just ended up falling in love with him in the process, which a lot of people will say when they foster, if they end up keeping them, they call themselves foster failures, but it's probably the best thing in the world. But he's a great dog. He loves coming to the dog park, loves sniffing around to the other boys, and he's just a good boy, so has a lot of zest for life.
Mm, there you go. And how old is he again?
They estimate about 10.
Yeah,
so when his friend.
Yep.
Right on.
So my old senior boy.
So how is, rescuing a dog change things for you?
Definitely. Well, it just opens me up to more compassion, I guess. Realizing that there's a lot of dogs out there that need good homes, and that I'm a person that can provide that for them. It just means a lot that they need that kind of support too, and it's just as much for them as it is for me.
Mm-hmm. So if somebody was going to foster a dog, what would you tell them?
I would tell them, go do it. Go to the Humane Society. They're wonderful. If you already have a dog, they're awesome as far as bringing your dog in for a meet and greet, so you can make sure that, it's a smooth transition home. But it's just a very, very fulfilling program that they offer there, and they're just really awesome at their success rates at finding homes for them. So, go to the Humane Society.
Hi. He is just, he's forever on the move.
Oh, yeah.
He paces a lot because he was born in a shelter and spent almost the first year of his life in a shelter. So I think it's the run pacing.
Yeah.
And so he forever is moving. He does not, and plus he's a whippet cross, so he's got that nervous energy.
You're a whippet, huh?
Yep.
Well, mixed with whatever ran through the neighborhood.
Yeah.
Some people see a boxer, some people see a German short hair. We don't know.
Well, what I've been noticing lately, I've run into this a couple of times, there's some res dogs showing up from shelters.
Yes.
And somebody actually was like, I did the DNA test, and there was no breed above 5%.
Isn't that means like a mix of everything. Known breed to that, right?
Yeah.
Jack, could you stop going in a circle, buddy?
No, he doesn't.
Hey,
he's like, it'd be a lot easier if I was off my leash.
Right, yeah, and then we'd be off into the woods because that's what we do. But yeah, he was in a kill shelter in Alabama, and Ridge Rider Tech College brought him up here. So thank goodness, because he's a pretty swell guy.
Well, do you mind chatting about him a little bit? I'm doing a story on rescues I'm doing.
Yeah.
So...
For sure. Yeah, he was in kill shelter in Alabama. Ridgewater brought him up, and they do they'll fix them and chip them and, you know, have their people train by doing that. And then they just sell them at a very reasonable price. Oh, dear. Okay. And I was looking for a Whippet Cross forever and ever and ever, and just happened to bump into him, and he's just a sweetheart. When I got him, since he spent so much time in a shelter, he didn't know how to walk upstairs. He didn't know how to get in a car. He was afraid of everything, but he has really come around. He loves people now. He loves other animals. It just took some working with him to undo some of those behaviors that were mostly out of fear.
Yeah. He just didn't know what was going on.
Right, and all he knew was the inside of a kennel run. So, I mean, his knowledge was very limited. So he's just a heck of a guy.
Yeah. And how is rescuing them? How has that changed your life?
Oh, my goodness. I've been rescuing dogs since day one. I actually used to be the volunteer and special events coordinator for the shelter here. So that's been my deal, is to try and rescue him. He's just, how it changes my life, he's just a wonderful, wonderful companion. And I think a rescue dog is so much more appreciative. You can just feel that. You feel that love. He was instantly attached to me and really hasn't left my side since. And he, very devoted, as you would say. Mm-hmm. I would think very devoted guy. So he's just a sweetheart.
Right on. Right.
And I mean, a lot of people just don't have the patience. At first, he was, you know, a little bit nippy and a little bit bitey, and it was a little scary. I thought, you know, what is this? Is this the way this is going to be? This is, you know, that's a liability potentially.
Yeah.
But it was all out of fear. Yeah. And once he realized, hey, I'm safe. I'm okay. This is my home, this is my mom, you know, this is my family. He was cool. And it took a while to undo that, but it just takes that patience. And I think some people, watch out, I haven't picked up a poop yet. There we go. Thank you.
Yeah.
You're okay.
You're good.
You missed it.
Right there.
Yeah, right there. Thanks. But it just takes that patience to undo those behaviors. And then you really do get a prize, I think, once you can undo those. I think those are the best kind of dogs. So.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Right on. Well, thanks for chatting.
Oh, you're absolutely welcome. Now I have to go find poop.
Oh, I got some.
Oh, do you? Oh,
yep,
magic.
Yep.
That is awesome.
His name is, he came with the name Hunter, but we named him Buddy. But this is my first dog, both the first dog. Actually, she had a dog as growing up, but it's our own dog. We had it. We got it 10 years ago, probably, perhaps. And I didn't even, she did thought that maybe I won't like dog, but I saw, she put a $20 deposit on him, and he came and told me, oh, we got a dog. You want to see it? Oh, I can wait till it's got neutered. Then she thought maybe I don't really like the dog. She thought I want a big dog.
Mm-hmm.
So when we are going, do you like to see the dog? I said, okay, I'd like to see the dog before he got neutered in the hospital. I said I was going with her, beautiful day. There was a dog outside in the Humane Society. Said, look at the dog, so cute. He said, oh, that's the dog we are getting. So that's a great story.
Nice. And, how is rescuing a dog, adopting a dog, how has that changed your life?
He's really looking for somebody. Probably it's a match made in heaven, so to speak. You know? So really nice to have a dog from Humane Society. And also looking for somebody, you know, so that's a kind of, it's all worked out, you know, so you never know. The Hindu philosophy, you say karmic, you know, karma is the, and that's a good karma for all of us, you know, so.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell another great story. When I first got, he got, came well trained, so first day morning I got up and he was waiting by my door, bathroom door. I thought, I don't know much about dogs. I thought I'll shave and do these things. And he just went to bathroom quickly, you know, just then he felt really awkward.
Yeah,
I did something wrong. I said, no, you didn't do anything wrong.
He's like, okay, wait, I get it.
I get it. You want me to
You were trying to tell me something. Yeah.
So it was a good experience.
Okay, so tell me about United Doberman Rescue.
United Doberman Rescue is a nonprofit organization. We specifically rescue Dobermans or Doberman mixed breeds. Like I said, Greta's mom was a purebred Doberman who came into our rescue and mated with a Chihuahua, and now there's a litter of Chihuahua-men. So United Doberman Rescue is based out of Buffalo, but none of the dogs are kennels. They're in foster homes scattered throughout Minnesota. So the best way to look for, if you're interested in Doberman or Doberman breed, the best way to do is go to our website. All the available dogs are for adoption on the website. Fill out an application. We do have a process where a volunteer will come out and do a home inspection to make sure the home is appropriate. And then you set up a meet and greet and go from there. So
very groovy. Oh, cool. And what are some of the challenges if, you know, people are looking to adopt, you know, a rescue?
Challenges with a rescue dog. With a Doberman specifically, one of the things I recommend is that you look at your homeowner's insurance. A lot of homeowner's insurance doesn't cover specific breeds, and unfortunately the Doberman is one of them. But I had to change my homeowner's insurance, and I got a great deal through State Farm. We actually saved money by switching and getting Doberman coverage. So just kind of, there's stuff out there. It's just a matter of looking.
Groovy. But otherwise, it's just another dog, really.
Yep, exactly. Yeah. It's all how you raise them.
Yep. You're in tune to the Untold Stories of Central Minnesota here at 88.1 FM KVSC. And today we're wandering around Wilson Park in the 29th annual Tri-County Humane Society's Woofstock. And as we get back into the untold story of rescue dogs, we're going to hear about one special dog here that in the years after his rescue, he's become famous, at least on a very local level, and in a very touching way.
Well, these are all therapy dogs.
Yeah.
And some of them are rescues and some of them aren't.
Yeah. What makes for a good therapy dog?
Just calm demeanor and, you know, being good around a lot of people and calm and friendly and obedient. You know, a lot of people think they have therapy dogs, but then, you know, they have to be obedient, you know, they have to listen. So
yeah. What kind of dogs make good therapy dogs? I mean, what kind of breeds?
Well, normally when people think of a therapy dog, the first thing that pops in their mind is the golden retriever. You know, that's when you see the pictures and brochures and television commercials are usually, you know, and we have a border collies and we have Great Danes and we have people with miniature horse that's certified and Shelties. And
so just about any, it's not breed specific, in other words, just
breed specific. Yeah. Any dog that can pass the pet partner's test can be allowed into the hospital, you know, so that's, they need to be retested and tested every 2 years.
So what is the pet partner's test then? What does that entail? Is there math involved?
No math involved, you know, but they test both the handler and the dog, and it's about a 40-minute exam, and you have to do simulations with, you know, people acting like they're patients at hospitals with walkers and wheelchairs and arguing and dropping pans and making sure your dog's not gonna bolt and be startled. And so we're, you know, again, they have to be retested every 2 years to make sure they don't get grumpy old dogs.
Yep, dogs change.
Then you and the dog are a team, and we can't use each other's dogs. You have to stick with the dog you're trained with.
That makes sense. Because you know your dog and everything. Yeah. So if somebody wanted more information on how to do this, how would they get a hold of you?
Well, there's the Central Minnesota Therapy Animal Association Facebook page, and they could leave a comment there, and we would get back to them. So that would probably be the easiest way for most people now, because everybody knows how to do that.
Yeah.
So, and we have monthly meetings, and then, you know, if they want to come to one of our meetings and check things out, we could certainly let them know when that would be and where it would be. And And then we come to things like this and set up to try to get more people interested.
Uh-huh. Well, about how many dogs do you have in the program?
We've probably got 15 dogs, and probably five of them are rescues, you know.
We have fun.
One of our members just got a couple beagles from rescue.
And if you have any questions, though, just, did you get the
card? Oh, I'm trying to think of who else we have. Well, Dwayne rescued his dog. He actually found it at his hunting shack. Somebody dumped it off.
Oh, yeah. How'd that happen?
Well, I just went up to get it ready for deer hunting, and I hear this little white dog running around barking at me. So I brought it home, and I fell in love with it and kept it and trained it to be a therapy dog. And it turned out to be pretty good.
Oh, wow.
And I named it Taco. A lot of people at the hospital know Taco.
Awesome. Well, how has rescuing a dog changed your life?
Well, it gave me a lot more to do. Just going to the hospital a couple times a week with it.
Mm-hmm.
And then going to the colleges and so forth. It helps keep me busy.
Right on. Yeah. We all need that, I tell you what.
We'll tell you how good the rescue dog did. Dwayne and Taco were Volunteer of the Year at the hospital last year.
Nice.
So they got top billing. So you know how much those rescue dogs can do.
Yeah.
So. You know, with all these other purebreds, and then Taco, he's the top dog at the hospital.
Yeah.
So.
Well, right on. Well, that's pretty awesome. Well, cool. Well, thanks for chatting.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And finally today, we're going to talk with Marit Ortega from the Tri-County Humane Society, a place where you can get some expert advice about adopting puppies, kitties, and any other kind of critter you can think of.
Well, how many pets do you adopt out just about every year here?
Last year it was 3,200 or so. I can't remember the exact number, but about that. We have a 96% placement rate. In 2016, that's what we ended up with, and I just checked recently, and we're maintaining that 96% placement rate this year, which is phenomenal for an open admission shelter. What that means is we're not turning animals away. When we get calls, we fit them in, and we try to get animals in on a schedule so that we don't overbook ourselves, because there's only so many cages. But people are usually pretty understanding, knowing that we're going to give their animal the same consideration we're giving the animals here. If they hold off, we don't have to put an animal down to make space. A lot of people are totally fine and understanding. So to have a 96% placement rate with an open admission shelter, it's pretty phenomenal.
Yeah, and you said 3,200. That's just under 10 per day.
Oh, yeah. And there are days when we have 30 adoptions in a day. Right now we're in our busy season. We actually have so many cats and kittens that we're doing this back-to-school sale where cats are name your own price. And literally you can come in and name it at a dollar. It is name your price. And kittens under 6 months are 50% off. So we're trying to move them, get them into homes a little quicker by lowering the fees and making sure that's not a hindrance to people. And throughout the year during our more busy times, this is a common thing that we do. And we haven't seen any excess returns of animals or any issues that come up with it. Adopters still go through the same screening process, so we can absolutely reserve the right to decline an adoption we're not comfortable with. I know a lot of people get uncomfortable when they hear, oh, you're giving cats away, and it is safe. It is, you know, not an issue. We're not seeing any of these animals going into bad homes by any means. It's just one way to help us move them a little faster as needed. So,
what are some of the things that you might do to prepare people if they're like first-time rescuers?
All of our staff are pet owners. Some of us have many pets. And so we have quite a wealth of experience here. And so any questions that people have, we definitely got more than enough people who are happy to answer those. And for first-time pet owners, we like to kind of get a feel of what their lifestyle is like. Are they home a lot? Are they not home a lot? Would they be better off with an animal such as a guinea pig that needs,
or couple. Fish.
Or fish. Or are they around where they can take a terrier who's going to be really active and need a lot of attention and exercise? We do try to help make that good match for people so that they're not getting something and taking it home and realizing, oh my gosh, I am not prepared. If people don't ask questions, it's hard for us. But if they ask, we're here and we can help. So we've actually started shying away from using the term forever home because we don't want people to feel bad if it doesn't work out. And there are times when it just doesn't work out, no matter how bad you want it to work. And we're here and we will take those animals back and find them a better match that will work for them and find that adopter who wanted to adopt something that'll work better in their house. And so I know a lot of people are really into this, oh, it's in its forever home, but it kind of has a stigma because then you feel bad if you took something and it didn't work. So we're very understanding that it might not work the first time around and we'll be here to take it back and find you something else that will. So
totally. So are there any like rescue stories that really stand out?
Oh my gosh, there's so many. There's one that stands out. It was last year. We see a lot of cats in central Minnesota, and so our cages are almost always full with cats or kittens. But the dogs have declined in recent years, and so there's often times where we have empty kennels and we can help other parts of the state. So we're getting more animals from the reservations or other states. So we've started getting animals from Florida. We've gotten some from California. We've gotten some from Texas, and actually there are some coming from Texas with
Hurricane Harvey. The hurricanes,
So two dogs last year that were transferred from another shelter, they had been there for 7 years, and they were here 16 days before they got adopted. And that was an amazing feeling for all of us, and the shelter in Texas, too. They were so thankful. And I think it kind of is a good testament to our community. There's a lot of people here who want to adopt and want to help rescue animals versus, you know, shopping from breeders or online. And so, obviously, that's good for us and it's good for these animals. But that was one of my favorite stories. So
nice. If somebody wanted to get a hold of you to adopt a pet, how would they go about doing that?
I always like to direct people first to our website because our animals that are available are all on there, and it's a live feed. So as soon as animals come in, they show up on the website. As soon as they're adopted, they come off. So it's triconyhumanesociety.org. They can go and browse. If anybody's interested in one, if they see one they like, then I would suggest calling us right away because these animals tend to go fast. Our average length of stay is 10 days before animals get adopted. We don't have a time limit. They'll stay as long as they need to, but the average stay is 10. So we do recommend calling and either putting a travel hold by phone for the amount of time it would take to come visit the animal if you're on your way, just because sometimes you get in the car and come and already someone else is doing adoption paperwork. And so that's free. Otherwise, there's a $20 deposit if you want to place a hold for 48 hours. Our phone number is 320-252-0896. Again, the website is tricountyhumanesociety.org. And as always, you can come visit us. We love to see people here, and we'll even give you a tour if you like. So,
well, thanks for chatting today.
Thank you.
And that was Marit Ortega from the Tri-County Humane Society here on the Untold Stories of Central Minnesota. And they can also point you to various other rescue resources around the area. You can find links on our website as well at kvsc.org. And one which is coming up, I didn't get a chance to speak with at Wolfstock, is Grayface Rescue and Retirement in Sauk Rapids. They'll be having an open house Sunday, October 1st. You can search for them on Facebook. This has been Arts and Cultural Heritage producer Jeff Carmack, along with my Beagle Basset Corgi other mix, Eddie, the producer dog, who is also a rescue, and who says woof. And the Untold Stories of Central Minnesota is made possible through support from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. It's been produced at KVSC, proud member of Ampers, Divers Radio for Minnesota's communities.